At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
So, I got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
All right, good to be with you on Sports Open Line. Man, that's interesting to say. I haven't said that in a long time as the host anyway. I've joined Matt quite a few times on Sports Open Line, but haven't hosted the show in a good while. Obviously, Matt Pauly's out tonight. He'll be back next week, and I'm pinch hitting. Hi, Kevin Wheeler, by the way. If you didn't notice my big mouth, that's me. And in the spot that I was in for super long time. I've done a lot of Sports Open Line shows, just none of them recently. It's good to be with you, man. We got a lot to do. Bernie Miklas is going to do his regular Wednesday hit at 6:20, just after 7 o'clock, so about 7:05. Derek Gould's going to jump on with us live from Las Vegas from the general manager's meeting, so we'll kind of get the latest vibe from there. In the meantime, we got a bunch of other things. I got some baseball here that I want to do, some college football, maybe some NFL. I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm feeling hot enough on that, but we'll see where I'm at the end of the show. Definitely have more thoughts on the Blues. On an off night tonight, coming off the win over Calgary, and we'll get to that a little bit later on in the show today as well. Starting off with baseball, I want to go just a little bigger picture here. We'll hone down on Cardinal stuff with Bernie and Derek, and maybe we'll broaden it out a little bit with Bernie too, and maybe do a little college football or something along those lines. But we'll start with baseball with Bern at 6:20. When we're at that stupid time of year. And that, by stupid time of year, I mean the time of year where Scott Boras holds court. I have no beef with Scott Boras and the way that he does his job. His job is to make the most money for his players that he can. He's pretty damn good at it. He's been arguably the best agent in the sport in that regard for 30 years. I've had the chance to talk to Scott over the years. He didn't used to be as goofy and corny as he is now. I despise his little gatherings at the GM meetings and the winter meetings when he's speaking in riddles and rhymes. And today he's doing the same thing. Nobody wants a Brexit in Boston, talking about Alex Bregman. Stop it. And I don't know why. Why do we listen to him when he's doing that? Like, it's one thing if he's going to answer questions because he's one of the most influential people in a baseball offseason. But as soon as he starts, just stop putting those quotes in and maybe he'll stop doing it. I know, it's a nitpick. It just annoys me. I don't like the cornball nonsense, man. You're not on vaudeville. You know, if you have a genuinely funny line, okay. But you don't have a genuinely funny anything for every player that you represent. Puns aren't funny enough to keep doing that. Dumbass jokes like this, just stop. There are a few things about this time of year. This is what I wanted to vent about in the beginning. And again, we'll do normal baseball talk. We'll talk cards with Bernie and Derek Gould. We'll talk. There's plenty of good baseball conversations coming out, but it gets clouded by a few of these things at this time of year. One of them is the stupid Boris show. Another is, you know, and again, there's a valid part to this. We've talked about it a lot, the upcoming labor dispute. Nate Gatter and I talked a lot last night about practical solutions and what it's all going to look like and how would you even do a cap. Those are all fine, but we don't have to just kind of keep talking about this as impending doom. Like it might be and it might not be. I think we have to talk about the details. We have to talk about how to avoid it. But we don't need to keep getting people wound up over it. Of course, you know, sports news is news, and news is all about stirring it up. Got to make it emotional, man. Got to have that rage bait in there because that's what gets the clicks. And that's what we do a little bit with this stuff in sports. We're going to rage bait a little bit with labor talk, get people fired up and mad. We get people yelling on Twitter, got to have a salary cap. I mean, all right, but if you don't have revenue sharing, a salary cap doesn't mean anything. If you don't have full revenue sharing like the NFL does, your cap can just take off and jump in a lake. It doesn't do any good. And then another thing that drives me nuts is in this time of year is the never-ending push by the, quote, insiders. Again, people who I like. I do not dislike any of those people. Not on a personal level and not even on a professional level, but I do hate this thing. I do hate how the National Baseball Insiders are always trying to push guys from Pittsburgh to New York or from Milwaukee to Los Angeles or whatever. And I don't mean like actively make them go or create it, because the reporting on it isn't going to make teams go, oh, whoa, John Heyman wrote that we should go after Freddie Peralta. Let's go after that's. It's not. You're not making anything happen. But the thirsty talk about trying to get every star player into a big city, because all the insiders are in big cities and they want to cover it. Can we just slow down? I understand the conversations about Freddie Peralta, right? We've even heard the Brewers might consider trading him. I understand the conversations about Tarek Skubal. He's the best pitcher on the planet. I didn't even check. Did he win the Cy Young? Did they do that already tonight? Or is that coming up at 7 o'clock? He's coming up at 7 o'clock? All right. I'd be shocked if he doesn't win his second straight Cy Young. I understand the interest in the best pitcher in the game who's only got 1 year left on a contract. But do we already have to have the push to make him a Met when we're not considering the needs of the... Like, I'll say this. If I'm the Milwaukee Brewers... And I'll speak to them first because they're in the Central Division. I think they're a team that the Cardinals can definitely learn a thing or two about or learn a thing or two from. But also, it's a team you're competing with. If you're them, you had the best record in baseball. Why would you trade your best pitcher who's only making $10 million or $14 million or whatever it is when they have a chance to go make a run this coming year with him? Now, I get it. I think with any of those players, you can say, hey, if I get a Godfather offer, I'm going to take it, right? If somebody offers me something like what the Washington Nationals got for Juan Soto, okay, well, we can listen to those kinds of things. But if I'm Milwaukee, you better come to me with your best offer if you're talking about my best pitcher, and I just had the best record in baseball, and he doesn't cost me anything. Right? I mean, if I'm Detroit, that's a top 10 or 11 market. They've made the playoffs 2 years in a row. They just took Seattle to the 15th inning of Game 5 of a series. Why would they trade their best player when they're trying to make another playoff run. Unless it's going to have to be that Godfather offer that you can't turn down. But this constant like failure to analyze where each team is, the selling team, is annoying. Like Pittsburgh, all the Skene stuff. They're not trading Skenes. He makes them money. He makes no money, and he sells tickets when he pitches. Why would they do that now? They'll do it eventually. We know that. But they have him for the next 4 years. They're not going to do it now. But it doesn't stop people from throwing the name out there. Will they trade Skenes? No. He's the only thing they have that sells tickets. And that does matter. All right. Done ranting on the offseason stuff for now. That's it for now. We'll talk to Bernie Miklas when we come back here on Sports Open Line on KMOX. Sports Open Line on a Wednesday night. Matt Pauly is out. He'll be back next week. Kevin Wheeler in for him. And as you always hear on a Wednesday around this time, Bernie Miklas is joining us. Hey, Bern, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, Wheels. Good to be with you, man.
Yeah, I was doing a little venting in the last segment about some of the annoying things of this time of year in baseball, like Scott Boris and his stupid poems and rhymes and puns and that nonsense. I hate that so much.
He really thinks he's a great entertainer,
doesn't
he?
Oh, my God. I mean, yeah. I actually have no animosity towards him for the job that he does. I know a lot of baseball fans hate him. I don't. I mean, if his players don't get paid, well, that just means billionaire owners are going to keep the money. So I'm not going to root for the owners over the players who I want to go watch play. But this kind of clown show stuff, he didn't used to be this way. I have talked to him many times over the years, way back. You know, in fact, the first time I interviewed him, Bernie, was over the Adrian Beltre thing. You remember when Adrian Beltre was a kid and he filed a grievance about how something was wrong with the way the Dodgers signed him, and then he won and he basically gained free agency and he got a big contract when he was super young. Like we talked then, and he was a normal, you know, guy, you know, a little bit funny here and there, but like I hate this pre-rehearsed thing, and I know he's got people writing this stuff for him, and it's so dumb.
Yeah, part of it is that it plays really well with the media. Maybe not you, maybe not me. I'm not a fan of it. So, you know, he's turned this into a Broadway production every year.
Yeah.
It is annoying. But I'll be honest with you. The whole general manager meetings are a big waste of time. I'm not talking about from the fact that the general managers get together lay the groundwork. I'm not saying that, but there's a lot of people in lobbies, you know, standing around trying to figure out what to write or what to say. And Boris fills a void.
Yeah. And I actually, you know, I think there's value, as you put it, you know, the having them together, there's value in those guys having face to face meetings. I do think there's some value in some of the reporting that's done, too, because they get to have initial conversations that lead them to follow up on things. But it's just not great for public consumption this early. Right. It's a lot of wait and see, and a lot of, you know, maybe some peripheral stuff. Right. Like we've seen stories today. At least I saw a couple reports today from the National guys that the Pirates and Marlins might actually spend a little money this offseason in free agency, which would be I'll believe it when I see it. But it would be nice.
Yeah, that's been a theme this week. I've noticed that too. And I like Bob Nightingale because he moves it around and fills you in on a lot of different teams from USA Today. So yeah, I've seen that too. And we'll find out, you know. It does make sense for I think it makes sense for the Marlins for sure. They had quietly had a good season last year, and I don't think they're that far away. So, you know, not that means they'll make a push for the postseason, but you never know. But I like that if they're going to do that. The Pirates, I have no faith that they'll actually spend money. But when Peter Bendix talks about it, the Marlins guy, the Heim Bloom of Miami, then I think there's something to it. I tend to believe it.
Yeah, well, they only won four fewer games than the Mets.
Right. Amazing, right?
Yeah, and on that note, you know, and this is where I want to tie it into the Cardinals. There's a path that I want to follow here because, you know, there are a couple of National guys, and obviously we've all been talking about this too, but there have been a couple of National guys saying the Cardinals have been a very popular team there because they have some pretty good pieces to trade, and in particular on the pitching side with Sonny Gray. If I'm the Marlins, am I going to trade Sandy Alcantara now that I'm, you know, not that far from, you know, they're 79 wins. Heck, 83, 85, that can get you into the playoffs.
And he was really good after the All-Star.
Yes, he was.
Too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But yeah, we listen, I don't think anyone had to travel to Las Vegas to know that the Cardinals were going to be a popular team. No, I mean, I'm just
yeah.
because they've made it clear they want to make moves. And, Heim Bloom's been very upfront about it and very transparent about it. So I don't know, that's it might be news in other places. It's certainly not news here. I mean,
No, you're totally right. We've been doing that for weeks.
The one thing that got me excited today was looking at Baseball America's updated Cardinals top 10 list.
Yeah.
No, it really did.
I agree. Yeah.
It really did. I mean, that's rather than, the trade speculation and, names being thrown around. This is a rebuild, and a big, huge thing in the rebuild is going to be how good this player development is, whether it's going to deliver over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I see Baseball America coming out with a new top 10, and for example, they have Joshua Baez, the outfielder, they have him fourth. They
right.
moved him up to fourth. And they talked about how the future, they say he looks like he could debut for the Cardinals in 2026. He's a potential above average regular with the potential for 30 homers and 30 stolen bases. That's quite the endorsement from Baseball America.
Absolutely.
And those guys don't fool around. I mean, they're pretty serious about this stuff. So, and I noticed where, the pitcher they took, the other guy from Tennessee, Tanner Franklin.
Yeah, yeah.
He's number six on the top 10 list, just like that. They drafted him the same day they drafted, or the same draft that they drafted Liam Doyle.
Yep.
And now his teammate, and Doyle's number two, as you would expect, behind Weatherholt. But now Tanner Franklin, who throws 100.
Yep.
And they're talking about how he's shows an ability that he's going to pick up a breaking ball. So all of a sudden, he's their number six prospect, just like that. It took like 30 seconds. So that kind of stuff is what fires me up as someone would like to see the Cardinals have a successful return.
Yeah, and look, you throw on top of that, because you mentioned those guys. I mean, obviously, JJ is one of the top five prospects in baseball. Throw on top of Doyle and Baez and Franklin, Bernal just won the minor league gold glove for catchers, and right. he's going to be at AAA this year to start the year. We know Quinn Matthews is a super interesting left-handed arm who's close. And if he's healthy, he's probably going to be a big part of the 2026 team. And you got a kid in Raniel Rodriguez who's probably one of the biggest rising prospects in the sport this year.
Right, and they have three of the – we knew this already. It's just that they shuffled them around. The Cardinals have three catchers on the top 10 list, Jimmy Crooks, Rodriguez, and Bernal. And I do believe that, if you're looking at this, especially if they want Crooks on the big club this year, I would think that Pedro Pajes will be traded.
Makes sense. He'd have value.
Who knows?
He'd have value.
I know the manager and pitching coach really like him, but this team's loaded with catchers. And if just because Ivan Herrera – wants to catch in 2026, it doesn't mean that he will be their catcher. People are sort of jumping over a hurdle to make that conclusion. I'm not sure yet. When Ollie Marmol on the Gas House Gang told us, when we asked him about this, he said, he basically laid it out the way I said it. He said, well, look, listen, he wants to catch. We're going to give him a chance to catch. We're going to see how he does.
Right.
So it's kind of an open thing. It's not like, well, we're going to lock him in a catcher. So they have a lot of catchers, which means somebody's got to go. And I don't think they want to trade the 18-year-old Rodriguez.
No. He may
probably
not.
Probably don't want to trade Bernal either. But, no, this is it's a great list. That young shortstop, that 18-year-old shortstop's on the top 10.
Yeah.
Jairo Padilla.
Yep.
So, I mean, they've got, Fangraphs has him as the number one farm system right now. Baseball America is being really, really positive. These are independent evaluators. These are not St. Louis homers. These are, and especially Baseball America, this is what they do for a living, and they're really good at it.
Yeah.
I think things are looking good. The Cardinals are going to do whatever they're going to do in terms of the Major League roster, but the most important thing there is that this player development system really thrives and starts delivering players and good players. And I'm just saying – potential of that happening, is at a pretty exciting level, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was talking about this earlier, Bernie, in reference to the Blues. JR had a really good piece, Jeremy Rutherford, in The Athletic about essentially just saying maybe it's not the end of the world if the Blues stink all year. And look, I don't know that I don't think they're going to. I don't want them to. But if you end up with a top five pick, that may not be the end of the world for a team that's going to need a core player. And I kind of think we can look at the Cardinals and see, we didn't want them to go through what they just did these last couple of years, but if they didn't, You don't have a top five prospect in the whole sport and J.J. Weatherholt knocking down the door, and you don't have Liam Doyle sitting there right behind him who's going to be pushing as a lefty throwing 100.
Well, that's exactly right. And the Blues have drafted pretty well. And
sure.
I do think that I'm always in favor. If you're not going to be a good team and you're not, even if you're a borderline playoff team, yeah, I'd prefer you make the playoffs. But if we know that you're not really going to do anything, even if you get there, it doesn't get me too fired up. So, yeah, if you're going to be bad, be bad. I don't know what to say because I agree with what you said. Yeah, I agree with what you said.
I'm not saying tank. I'm just saying if it goes that way, it's not the end of the world because the Cardinals and the Blues, to me, have been in similar spots. You're kind of stuck in the middle. You're competitive enough, but you're not going to win a title. And you're lacking in certain, to me, the Blues thing is not about a lack of talent or even a lack of prospects. They have a lot of good prospects. It's that you don't have a guy. You don't have a guy that's going to be the one that takes over and can be your franchise dude. They got talent, but they got guys that are passengers. And if you find a guy, that can help.
You know, you use the word passengers. I think that's great because that's exactly the problem with that team. They have talent. But they have a lot of people who are content to ride shotgun or even better in the back seat. Like, don't look at me. Don't look at me. I'm not the leader. You know, they have way too much of that. And it's been kind of a chronic issue here. I don't know why. To me, that's a mystery. And no one has ever really analyzed it in a way that makes sense. Why do they keep getting players who clearly have talent? You know, Thomas and Kyrou, Buchnevich, we can name a bunch of guys. But what is it? What is there something in the water where these guys can't step up and become leaders? I just find that really strange.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it might explain a little bit, given their physical abilities, why they were drafted where they were, especially a guy like Kyrou, right? I mean, you look at a guy in Kyrou who lit up the amateur level, right? He was lighting it up on the scoreboard. He was the fastest skater, and everybody loves speed because speed always plays. But yet, you're a top of the second round pick. That guy has the physical ability to go top 10 or 15, but he didn't. And maybe this is part of the reason why. Maybe people saw that.
It could be because, scouts obviously look at talent first and all the identifiable traits that they like, but you never really know if someone, unless he was a team captain on a great, junior team that was really successful, you really never know how they're going to evolve as they mature. The stuff that doesn't have to do with their play, leadership capabilities, competitiveness, things like that. And the Blues just keep these guys, sometimes they step up, sometimes they don't, and it's just kind of weird.
Yeah, we'll close on this note with the Blues, Bernie, and it applies to the Cardinals too. I mean, I think they're not exactly the same. I think the Cardinals may be the opposite. Not maybe. They are the opposite. The players are, most of them, and there are exceptions. But I think more of their core players fit the try-hard attitude, right? The grinding, they're going to put in the work and all that. And I don't necessarily mean just physical work, right? I mean, get after it and grind in the middle of a game and battle through an at-bat, or in the hockey case, get into the corner and go get the puck. Don't accept that somebody's going to beat you to it. Things along those lines. Get to the, all the cliche things that coaches say, right? Get to the front of the net. Get to the dirty areas. I think the Cards have more guys like that than the Blues do that have those characteristics of being dirt dogs. But still, you're finding ways to – they try to find ways to get through with a little bit less talent than they should have. And the Blues are a little bit on the other side. You think you have more talent, but you're just not getting enough out of it.
See, I agree with you. I would say the Blues have more talent than the Cardinals do, but the Blues don't have the grit that the Cardinals do. Now, all the haters will say, well, what are you talking about? They have grit. They lost 84 games or whatever. We're not talking about that. They didn't have enough talent.
Right.
They don't hit for power. They didn't have enough starting pitching.
Correct.
They had all kinds of problems there. But for a team that lost 84 games or 178 games, they were among the major league leaders in comeback wins.
Mm-hmm.
So I rest my case.
Yeah, totally with you there. Good catching up, Bern. We'll look forward to doing this again next week. I'll be out the end of the week this week, so we won't talk on Friday. But have a good weekend until I talk to you next week.
at Lowe's. This Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Back in on Sports Open Live, Kevin Wheeler in for Matt Pauly tonight. Matt will be back next week. We have Derek Gould joining us from Vegas at the top of the hour. He's at the GM meetings, and we'll just he's been having the, in addition to doing the I'll let him describe it, but kind of like hotel surfing throughout the day, and you're listening to Boris and you're going to talk to people. But the Cardinals also have a little meeting for the media to come to. Do it every single day, and I believe that's just a couple hours ago. So he's already done that for today as well. So we'll get the latest from Derek Gould from the winter meetings, GM meetings after the top of the hour news. We're just having a fun discussion during the break because they're announcing the Cy Young Awards tonight. They announced Tarek Skubal won the Cy Young Award, so it's the second in a row. And then we're just kind of going around because we were talking about the guys. And Kyle, you brought it up, but we were talking about the lefties who have won back-to-back Cy Youngs. And I could come up with a couple of them, but the recent ones are pretty obvious. Clayton Kershaw, Randy Johnson. And then we started getting into, how many 200-game winners are we even going to have? And I think there are going to be plenty of 200-game winners still moving forward. But I think we might have seen the last 300-game winner. I don't think we're getting another. The closest right now is Justin Verlander. He's at 266. And I don't think he can get to 300 because he's going to have to pitch probably another 3 years. He's not going to really be, because he was okay this past season, but it was still only 4 wins. Like, he pitched okay, he just didn't get any run support. And that's part of the problem, right, is winning games requires innings and support. Unless you're Bob Gibson. He had the innings, but he didn't have the support, right? I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he won as many games as he did. I should say I know how many because he did it by himself. He could have easily been, 30, 32-game winner But, you know, I understand that historically speaking, you need some run support and you need to pitch innings. And obviously, the better the team that you're on, the better it's going to be. I think that this led me to what I wanted to follow up on, is that I think Major League Baseball will eventually recognize that they need these guys. I know the trend has been to go away from it, and I think if you go away from pushing innings on your third, fourth, and fifth starter, okay, I get it. They're not as good. I think you need as many innings as you can get from your best pitcher, your ace. And if you have two of them, then get as many, because what we're going to see, and we've already seen it starting to happen, and we're seeing it in the playoffs nearly, and in some cases tear teams apart, in other cases nearly tear them apart. There's a reason the Dodgers were using starters in relief in the elimination game in the World Series, because they didn't trust any of their relievers. Their relievers were all broken. Half of them were already on the injured list. And that's the problem, is quality proven relievers are getting hurt more and more, and their performance varies anyway from year to year. But when you can rely on a Paul Skenes, you know, Justin Verlander, who for a lot of his career was throwing 240, 250 innings a year, at some point, I think the brains inside of baseball will recognize. So here's my evidence to back up the claim that they will eventually come back around. Not to 250 innings, but I think they're going to realize that it's okay to let your best guys, even if there's a third time through the order penalty, your best guy the third time through is going to be better than a middle reliever who is probably going to be hurt. Or, you know, or better than just burning your bullpen and then having that fade as you go. So you look at what Skubal does as an example. You know you can unload your bullpen the day before he pitches, because you're not going to need him. He's going to go seven, and he might go more, but he's going to shut the other team down. You know you're only going to have to cover a couple innings for him. And then the day after, you have a fresh bullpen. So before you can use the bullpen, the day of, maybe you need your closer, maybe you need two relievers. And then the day after, now you have a fresher bullpen and you can kind of work that way. That's the benefit. It actually will make your use of the analytics matchups and the understanding of fresh arms and third time through the order, it'll actually let you use it more where you really need it, as opposed to when your number one guy is going. Now, if you don't have a number one guy, well, good luck. You better have a lot of relievers. But the evidence that this will turn, and I'll take a quick time out after this because I could go on this forever. The evidence that it's going to turn, I think we're seeing on the offensive side right now. Because on offense forever, the emphasis has been power and walks, right? Home runs and walks. And it's still there. That's not going away. But we're going back to more teams valuing the hit tool. This is why guys like J.J. Weatherholt are going at the top of the draft. Guys like Travis Bezzano from Cleveland. The value of a Bo Bichette in free agency this year is going to be partly because he doesn't swing and miss that much. And we're seeing that reducing swing and miss is becoming popular again. That's evidence that we can emphasize traits for a while, realize, okay, those things still matter. Power and walks, you know, homers and walks still matter. But the other thing matters too, and we're going to reemphasize those kind of things. We want to play matchups. We want to be aware of the third time through the order. But if we do that 5 days a week, we're going to run out of arms. If we have one or two guys that we don't have to do that with, you can actually use that strategy more effectively when you're going to need it with your less talented starters. All right, Derek Gould's going to join me after the top of the hour. A little more Sports Open Line to end this hour, next up on KMOX. I back it on Sports Open Line. A little more baseball. I can't keep. It's awards night, or it's Cy Young night, I should say. Tarek Skubal was announced as the American League Cy Young Award winner for the second year in a row. Did they announce the National League yet? It's going to be Paul Skenes. I mean, yeah. Did they announce it yet?
Haven't announced it yet.
But it's going to be Skenes. I mean, he's the only starting pitcher in baseball that has a sub-2 ERA, and he pitched 187 innings. So he's going to be the Cy Young in the National League, and rightfully so. But I saw Sarah Langs, who does a really great job covering Major League Baseball for MLB.com, and she used to be with ESPN. She does a really great job. And she's great at finding these nuggets. And She posted the franchises with the most Cy Young Award winners of all time. And the Dodgers are the all-time leaders with 12. The Braves have 8. A lot of the 90s Braves certainly were a part of that. And then after that, it's a three-way tie. It's the Mets, Red Sox, Phillies, and Tigers. And we were thinking about, like, where do the Cardinals go? And I thought, oh, they must have 4 or 5. And I know that they don't. Part of me knew it because I've talked about this before. We talked about it when Waino almost won. That Waino would have been the first one since Chris Carpenter. Chris Carpenter won the Cy Young in 2005. But they've only had, the Cardinals in their history, with all the pitching that they've had, have only had 3 Cy Young winners. And 2 of them are Bob Gibson. And then obviously Chris Carpenter. So technically 2 Cy Young winners, but 3 Cy Youngs. That surprises me. It makes sense. You know, we know the history, but it's just a little surprising for a team that historically has won so much, hasn't had the guy that ends up winning the award. You know, Bruce Sutter, I'm sure, got close a couple times as a reliever. I haven't looked back, but I was a little surprised that we didn't have a Dizzy Dean one. But it is interesting that you've won. You've got the second most World Series titles in the history of the sport, but only 3 Cy Young awards in that entire amount of time. It's surprising. It's funny. It's one of those things, like, I know I knew it, but I just, having not thought about it directly for a number of years, you're just like, oh, of course they have more than that. You know, if you look at, you know, where they have ranked, you know, people ranked on leaderboards all over the place, you'd be like, you got Stan, and you got, with the number of Hall of Famers they've had, period, you're like, oh, they must have more. Who's the next Cy Young Award winner for the Cardinals? Is it Liam Doyle? Way too early. I'm just messing around. I'm definitely not trying to forecast that. All right, stick around. We're going to have more on the Cardinals, more on Major League Baseball. My good friend Derek Gould is going to join us from the GM meetings. I keep saying winter meetings. From the GM meetings in Las Vegas when we come back from the news.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Well, no Matt Pauly tonight. Matt's out for the rest of the week. He'll be back next week here on Sports Open Line. Kevin Wheeler back in my old chair. It's not weird being back in the drive. I've been on with Matt on Sports Open Line a lot of times since he's come aboard, but I haven't driven the show since I did the show on a regular basis 3-4 years ago. But happy to be doing it. Glad to be talking some ball, and also very excited that my good friend Derek Gould was kind enough to spend a little time with us from Las Vegas. Derek, I hope we're not keeping you from the strip or from the tables or anything like that.
Yeah, no, you're not.
I knew I wasn't.
You just introduced me as your friend, and then you said something that no.
Well, that was the joke. You would be the last person I would expect to see at the craps table.
Yeah, fair. That's entirely fair.
How's it been so far? I mean, obviously, GM meetings don't match up to the winter meetings in terms of action and deals and all of that. What's the move been like?
Yeah, the GM meetings have really changed in the, you know, what, 20 years I've been covering them. Certainly a big change this year is it's not John Mozeliak here, so that's good for me. But, you know, this is a lot of the groundwork is usually laid for trades. You know, first face-to-face meetings, agents have meetings with teams. There's a lot of exploratory stuff, and then they kind of, you know, I kind of think of it as like round one of the offseason.
Sure.
They get in the center of the ring. They exchange some punches. They see where each other is. They give some, you know, uppercuts. They give some deeks. They might pass out a few rumors. And then they return to their corners to kind of reassess. And I think some of it has changed because of, certainly this year it's changed because of the venue. It's just been really fascinating because it's not set up for mingling.
Oh,
just to be candid, it's a casino and a hotel, and the lobby's very small, and the lobby bars are kind of scattered, and there's not really like this like centralized hub of chatter that can kind of produce some of the best baseball stories going, and maybe even a deal or two. So, you know, it's changed, but it is very exploratory, Kevin, to your question. And I think the vibe here is that there are a few position players to be had by trade, and a lot of teams would rather look there first before a free agent.
Makes a lot of sense. I mean, in that way, you know, I know you've talked about it. Bernie and I talked about it a number of times throughout the offseason, and then obviously, you know, some of the national guys are starting to write about it now since everybody's there. The Cardinals seem to be a pretty popular topic of conversation when it comes to players that might be moved.
Yeah, they're right then there in the thick of it. You know, they are actively trying to move two All-Stars, which gets a lot of attention, and they're getting a lot of attention on a third All-Star in Brendan Donovan, and you have the pieces there, and you have a team that has openly said that it has a long-term view. Other teams hear that and go, well, where on their roster can we benefit from that?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're seeing a lot of that. You know, the Cardinals are getting a lot of interest and a lot of conversation. We'll see if they get a lot of traction on the trade front.
It's going to be interesting. I mean, you mentioned, you know, this is the first time doing this with Heim Bloom in charge. What is there a noticeable difference? I mean, obviously personalities are different between he and Mo, but sometimes Mo off the record or behind the scenes is a little bit different than what the public sees. So I'm just curious, is it notably different or has it been kind of the same?
Wait, can you go back to that part where like, wait, what did you say about Mo off the record?
Well, I don't know about, I never talked to him off the record really, but like away from that the cameras and microphones, away from all that, he does sometimes, he was sometimes a good bit different than the kind of the person you would see at the podium doing a press conference.
Fair. That's fair. Yeah. He wasn't divulging a whole lot of.
He would be a little snarkier, be a little funnier, wear a little more dry when he knows it's cameras on and all that.
Sure. But I mean, there's a good possibility he might not yet confirm they traded for Nolan Arenado. So. Having had that conversation with him.
That's a good point. Really good point. But how is it? How is it? Is it notably different with Hyman? Just in terms of how it works, not so much what's working.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think I think he's in a different position than Mo was ever in the sense that he gets to talk about a future view. Much of when Mo was the president of baseball operations or general manager was like, "Are you going to win tomorrow? Are you going to win tomorrow?
What
are you going to do to win tomorrow? Are you going to win tomorrow?" You know, I mean, I remember being at these GM meetings going, but how does that help you win a World Series?
Right.
I mean, literally asking that question. Like, I understand what you're looking for, but Mo, how does that help you win the next World Series? And with Haim, there aren't those questions. You know, there should be, but there aren't.
There will be eventually.
There will be, but how does this get you closer to the core?
Right.
And, you know, I think he has been really good about being candid about Sonny Gray, very candid about Nolan Arenado. He is doing so with both the blessing of the player and the agent. And he went to them and they talked through what he could say publicly. And I think he's given a lot of clarity there. I think he's really detailed to a point of what their plan is. And then when you ask a question that he doesn't want to answer, he gives you a general answer and then explains like, look, that's a topic that you're just going to get general answers on.
Right.
And I like that because it saves us the dance of seven more questions.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's something to be said for efficiency in that setting, right? Because there are things they're just, they would be unwise to say out loud.
Right. I think here's another, if I may offer you another change, is here's a guy who's come from two other organizations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was with Tampa Bay and he was with Boston. So you go up to Tampa Bay and they want to talk about how Haim's doing in St. Louis. You talk to some folks from Boston and they want to talk about what Haim is going to pull off in St. Louis.
Interesting.
I've had multiple people, executives and some agents from other teams who have had agents and then executives from other teams, let me say it that way, who have had interactions with Haim Bloom, not Cardinals Haim Bloom, but Boston Haim Bloom or Tampa Bay Haim Bloom. And they tell you about how encouraged or excited they are about what he might bring to the Cardinals.
Interesting.
That's different. Because, you know, Mo was 30 years with the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you go talk to the Red Sox about Mo, he's their rival. You talk about the Cubs, you know, or you go to the Cubs, talk about Mo, he's a rival. And so he was always a Cardinals executive. And that's how they saw him. With Haim, there's a little bit more bigger group with different branches and different parts of different teams.
Sure.
Where they're like, hey, this could be intriguing what he's going to build there.
Interesting. So let's kind of build off of that, Derek, because I was talking about this earlier a little bit in relation to the Blues, and we were kind of making the point like maybe it's not the end of the world if you have a crappy year and you get a top five draft pick or something like that. So moving that idea to the Cardinals, these last few years have been frustrating. For fans, it's obviously led to a drop in attendance, a lot of online anger. You get that with your chat every single week. but, you know, it's been a very frustrating circumstance, maybe because nobody would acknowledge or just say out loud that we kind of need this to happen, because the only way you get J.J. Weatherholt is if you're picking in the top 10. The only way you get Liam Doyle is if you're getting in the top 10. Maybe this is what was necessary to get things back to where we want them to be.
I guess, you know what both of those guys share in common?
Well, I mean,
Liam Doyle and J.J. Weatherholt.
Quite a few things, but I don't know what you're thinking.
I mean, they've yet to play a major league game.
No, that's true. But, I mean, when's the last time they had a player that was viewed the way that Weatherholt was? I mean, it's probably Tavares.
It's Oscar Tavares.
And that was a long Oscar time Tavares. Ago.
Yeah. No. Well, maybe Alex Reyes. I mean, if you go.
Yeah, he was definitely a highly ranked prospect for sure. Yeah.
He was number one prospect.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a top rated prospect in all of minor league baseball.
Yeah. Good point.
I mean, I get where you're coming from. I totally do. And it's a new paradigm for the Cardinals, but it's also one that they're choosing.
Mm-hmm.
It's also one that is not let's say, historically accurate to their brand.
Right.
And so take that into account. Like, what they're talking about being is different. Mm-hmm. And I've heard other teams talk about doing this. And you know what? They're not. They're not residents in October.
Yeah.
They don't make it back. Or it takes years for them to make it back. I think any sort of hesitation from the fan base about what direction the Cardinals are going in is completely understandable. And yeah. I get where they're coming from, because there's no guarantee you emerge from this as a title contender. You might emerge from this as the Royals.
Sure, but outside of the top five to seven payrolls.
They have a great player.
Yeah.
You know, Bobby Wood Jr., they got rings?
No. Well, they do, but it was before Bobby.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. You might be that.
Yeah, maybe, but I would also kind of look at this outside of carrying a top five or six payroll. You're not gonna always be in the postseason. That's super rare, unless you're carrying that kind of number. Like, that's the one thing, you know, people talk about buying championships. Well, you don't really buy championships, but you do buy a place in October if you carry a $220+ million payroll.
You do increase your odds of reaching the postseason, and therefore increase your odds of advancing in the postseason. Yeah, that we were just talking about this. It's so fascinating that you bring it up, because I was just talking about this with a few, let's say, unnamed executives, but smaller market executives.
Okay.
Okay. We were just talking about this, about how the notion of parity in baseball is kind of a panacea, right? You have the Marlins make it every so often. Mm-hmm. You have the Royals who made it. You had three teams from the NL Central who made the playoffs this past year.
Yep.
And that's all good. But start looking at the teams that get to the championship round. Start looking at the teams that win the World Series. You know, what do they have? A preponderance of them have high payrolls. And as we can really get into this, and actually you and I would really enjoy talking about this, but like, think about like a Tampa Bay Rays team that had Glasnow and Snell, right?
Yeah.
Two guys who were in the playoffs, or I'm sorry, who were on the World Series team, right? They're big parts of the Dodgers. Well, what the Dodgers can do with those two guys that Tampa Bay could never do is, if they had Glasnow and Snell at the peak, they need those guys to make 28 starts.
Yeah. You got to be full-time. Yep.
All right. They got to be full-time. You know what the Dodgers can do? The Dodgers can be like, we'll pay you the freight of 28 starts, but we only need 20.
Right.
You know,
and
we
they're at the end, and we just need you to be there at the end. Yeah.
We need you to be there at the end. We need you to be there post. Scott Boras talked about this today with a few different guys, and he talked about these pitchers who will be there in the end and what a premium they should get in their salary. Well, just by defining it that way, you're limiting it to the high dollar teams to carry a guy like that.
So you're
skewing things in the higher dollar range.
Right. Right. And I think that is what makes the labor talks so interesting to me anyway, because to me, the real fight here should be amongst owners. I don't think this should be a players union versus owners thing. That's a weird way to sort out the inequity between the people that are in the club of 30.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, shouldn't that be solved by the guys there?
I think it's coming. Yeah, I don't think you have to worry about owners squabbling. They can be pretty good at it.
No, I just mean like these always end up being negotiation issues. A salary cap is going to close the gap between the Yankees and the Pirates. It doesn't. You know, no matter where you set the cap, the Pirates are still going to be at 30% of that cap compared to the Yankees, as opposed to, you know, the 90% that you have in the NFL, for example. Right. The floor is 90% of the cap. And unless you're going to shrink that in a meaningful way, and that's an owner's issue. that's the Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, Philly. That's those teams being willing to share a lot more of their money so that the Pirates could spend $200 million.
One of the biggest points of the GM meetings that is absolutely going to be outshouted by rumors and stated by bad puns and all that stuff is something that Scott Boras said today. And it is the point And I hope that it, what he said gets to a large audience, particularly the commissioner's office and the other owners. And here's what he pointed out. He said, when you look at the numbers for Major League Baseball's playoffs and World Series, and you look at what they did audience-wise, mm-hmm. and you compare that to the NBA, and then you go and compare the broadcast deals, and the NBA is twice the size or more of revenue for what baseball broadcast deal is, right? Meanwhile, the audiences are the opposite. And he said that is a sign of poor negotiations, and we as an industry need to rethink that. Amen.
Yeah.
That is very true.
Completely agree.
You want to start having teams like the Rays and the Bucks and these other teams, smaller markets, Cardinals included, who can close the gap on the bigger teams, you need to have greater national revenue that is carved up between all of those teams.
Yes.
And the best way to do that is whatever the streaming deal is or broadcast deal is. But the fact that they don't have an NBA size deal when they have more inventory of games and they have higher ratings and they have a global superstar in Shohei Ohtani, akin to the NBA with a global stars.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But that they have such a poor broadcast deal when in comparison, that that's what should resonate from these GM meetings. That phrase right there from what Scott Boras said.
Yeah, and I think part of the problem is in this, and this is where it's going to require the cooperation of the big markets, is it's just so it's so localized, so locally sold and emphasized, right? So NBA has tons of national games of the week, right? Everything in the NFL is a national game.
Yeah, that's the broadcast partners trying to legitimize how much they're spending.
Sure, sure. But I mean, like, if you're going to look at it the way that it is, you can't have a setup where the Dodgers pay themselves and the Yankees pay themselves and the Red Sox pay themselves, and then another team has to negotiate to get some 10% of that fraction because of their market size. If it's all essentially a national package and there's an equal share somehow, whether it's increased revenue sharing of local revenues or decreased share of national revenues for the big boys, one or the other, because, you know, taking that national money and saying, okay,
you big boys,
if you're generating this, you only get one quarter of what the other teams are going to get from the national pie. Because, I mean, again, it's got to somehow, however you do it, your description is perfect. However you do it, those gaps have to close from revenue before any limits or floors or anything even matter.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I could, you could do that a number of different ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can also do that with expansion fees.
Oh, I know that's coming. And what do you think? What do you think? $2 billion or $4 billion expansion fees?
Yeah, and then and may buy out the big boys from their national or from their TV contracts.
Yeah.
So that everybody shares.
We just talked about that. Actually, I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before, but we were kicking that around that that would be a path towards, I think Matt Pauly and I were talking about it on Monday, maybe. That's a path towards being able to buy that, you know, buy those networks essentially from those teams, bring them into the fold, but here's your big payout, and it comes from those expansion fees because you got two franchises coming in. And then those add more eyeballs and they add more territories, and you know that's the idea of making it grow.
Yep, that's right. And if you have a national TV deal, they can put the Yankees versus the Red Sox every Sunday, and the other 30 teams after expansion benefit from it.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. All right, last thing, buddy, I'll let you run. I know it's been a long couple of days. Will you fly out tomorrow, I assume?
I hope so. Yeah, we'll see.
Good. Circumstances allowing.
I don't know
allowing.
If you paid attention to the news recently.
Circumstances
I know it's sports on an open line, but let me tell you a little bit about government shutdown on the open line.
Yeah, not great for travel, is it?
No.
No. Well, good luck with that. Last thing I had for you on that, and this is, you don't have to go too deep on it, but we've seen a lot of cool things, a lot of interesting stuff. I saw your video today on stltoday.com. Really interesting stuff in there about the kinds of guys that the Cardinals can target in free agency. We talked about it, you and I, on the best podcast in baseball a couple weeks ago, and you hit it on it again in today's video. Short version, for the people that haven't either heard or seen those two things, the paint that picture that we've talked about?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways they could go. As of right now, it really seems like they're, just in talking with other teams, the Cardinals are kind of gathering info for trades. But free agency-wise, that looks like a path for them to add a veteran starter. Or I'm sorry, veteran reliever. My fault, veteran reliever. Mm-hmm. They want to add one of those definitely to the bullpen. There are options out there. What they're willing to spend will be part of that, obviously. 1-year deal, you know, or 2-year deal. But they got guys who either have Cardinal ties, Phil Maton, or St. Louis ties, Peter Fairbanks, who
Let's
fit
go,
that description.
Big Pete.
Yeah, so that would be interesting. You know, as far as starters go, just the wide array. Yesterday, Chaim Bloom was talking about how he wants to look longer term and kind of look at who can help them a few years down the road. I did ask him if, like, a shorter term stopgap for a starter helps create a protection for like a Liam Doyle or some of these other guys so that they don't have to go like, all right, well, we're going to start him 24 times.
Right.
And he agreed, you know, so he said that's something they are going to look into. They could also then trade for a guy and then go for a lottery ticket in the market. You know, Dustin May makes a lot of sense and we'll see how far they go with that. You know, they've had some talks at least about what that kind of move would look like, if not Dustin May specifically, but that kind of trade or that kind of signing where you have innings to offer, that guy wants to increase his value. Where do they meet?
Yep. Great stuff, bud. All right. Well, we'll be listening to the best podcast in baseball, reading you on STLtoday.com and in the Post-Dispatch on a daily basis. It's part of my regular routine because you're my guy. I appreciate you, man. Good luck tomorrow with the travel. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Kevin. Thanks. I'll give you an update on whether or not I get to leave Vegas or what's the drive like.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck with that. Well, when you're back, let's go grab some food.
I would like that.
See you, buddy. That's Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch. And again, if you follow the Cardinals, you follow Derek. I mean, I don't know why I'm doing an advertisement for the guy that everybody who's a Cardinals fan reads and follows, but obviously you should. And the best podcast in baseball is phenomenal. And there's a short version today, like a 13-minute video version of it today that can give you some tidbits, a little bit more detail than what we got today. Many thanks to Derek Gould. We'll come back and do a little more on Sports Open Line. I think I'm going to do some more hockey. I don't know, though. Sometimes the break grabs me in a different way. We'll see what happens. All right, Sports Open Line on a Wednesday night. Kevin Wheeler stepping in for my buddy Matt Pauly. Obviously, Matt will be out for the rest of this week. He'll be back in next week as the plan goes. And, of course, we'll just keep on keeping on. Nate Gatter will be in this seat tomorrow night. And I believe, is it official, Kyle? Should I say it or not say Friday? Should I hold off? I mean, it's on the schedule, right? I think Rennie Knott, our good friend Rennie Knott, may be hosting on Friday night. That'll be cool. Looking forward to seeing Rennie getting back into the sports thing. And like we had him on DGS. He's a fantastic guy. And looking forward to hearing him on the radio side. So that'll be coming up on Friday night here on Sports Open Line. All right, so getting back to the Blues conversation. And I don't have a time to get super deep on it. But, you know, the first hour, well, I shouldn't say he wasn't even in the first hour. in Rush Hour Sports, talked a bit about that thing that I brought up with Derek, which is maybe it's not the end of the world if you have a bad year. Maybe it's not the end of the world that the Cardinals had these couple of down years, so long as you're going to do other things to get back, right? Because the teams, as Derek put it, there's a lot of risk, right, when you're doing rebuilds. But to me, there are levels of rebuilds, right? There's a teardown, there's a tank job, and then there is kind of where the Cardinals are, which is kind of a moderate rebuild. It's not like light. It's not like three things and go, but it's a more moderate thing. You're not destroying the roster. You're not trying to lose 100 games. You're not doing like what the Marlins did and going bare bones payroll of $60 million or what the Pirates are doing at $75, $80 million. You're not doing that. That, to me, is a terrible idea. That's a risky move. What's happening with the Cards, and what I think, we know the Blues are in transition. They've said it. I mean, like Doug Armstrong has talked about how this is, they're still trying to transition into their next window of contention. And when you're in a transition phase, sometimes it's not the end of the world if you have the year where it leads you to a higher draft pick. And I say this especially for hockey, more so than baseball, because everybody's capped out. It's hard to move players. It's hard to change your roster significantly from year to year. And in baseball, at least you have the freedom to expand your payroll when you want to, when you're ready to do it. And there will be no excuse to not do it for the Cardinals once they get themselves set and kind of get your roster ready to the point where you have the talent to contend for real, not just be on the outer edges of contention. And that's not easily available for a team like the Blues, because when you think about moving players, so you're if you're moving your core guys, who have no trade clauses, by the way, so you have to get their agreement on where to go, and you lose leverage with the team that you're talking to because they know that the player isn't going to go anywhere. So what you end up doing is just kind of moving contract for contract, right? Bad fit for bad fit or something along those lines. And it's not always easy to do that. And a lot of ways, it's better to just keep your guys. I mean, because the guys we're talking about with the Blues, the guys with the big deals, a couple of them are super young. I'm not moving a Kyrou or a Thomas just to change a bad, you know, a contract for a contract. I might do that with Buchnevich. He's a little older. You know, I might do that with veterans. I mean, I could do something like that with Shen, but Shen's one of the only leaders on the team. From a talent standpoint or an age standpoint, you might do that for him with him. But you know, he's one of the only guys that gets after it on a night by night basis. So, you know, if you end up with a top five pick where you can get the type of player that can alter the core of your team moving forward, and God, you know, you never know, if you end up with a number one pick, you might get the guy. I mean, how nice would it be to have a Macklin Celebrini on the team? You know, a guy that can come in and impact you right away and has that little dog. You know, he's got that grit. Some guys take more time. Look, it took Alex Pietrangelo time to become what he became, but you don't get that guy at number 22 or at number 14. Now, that's a top four or five. That's a number four pick, but he would have been a top five pick, period, the end, no matter who was there. So I don't root for it. I don't think tanking is smart at all. I think tanking is just a way for owners to make money while their team sucks. I think you owe more to your customer and to put at least a reasonably competitive team out there, as competitive as you can be, while accomplishing the goal of improving your talent base so that in a short period of time, you can be a meaningful playoff contender. And when you look at where the Blues are, I think they're in that in-between. They're not as bad as their record. Now, I still believe that. I'm annoyed that we're still having these conversations about effort and you know, they don't always use the term effort, but they talk about compete. We're not competing. Well, to me, competing is effort. It's a synonym. It's the same thing. So I'm tired of those conversations. I'm tired of the slow starts. But my feeling about the talent level on the roster and my belief that they're better than that hasn't changed because of 17 games. And because we've seen this group get better at the end of the last couple of years, actually the last 3 years, it's not crazy to think that they'll get better as they go. But it ain't going to be easy, you know? Vegas is coming in a couple of nights. You got Philadelphia and Vegas back-to-backs. And then you hit the road for basically 2 weeks through Thanksgiving. And there are no easy shakes in there either. So it's a challenge, but I think they're capable of it. But if it ends up being a case where, all right, it's just one of those years, it's a bad year, that's not the end of the world. It's when they get strung together and it goes over a 4 or 5 year window of that level of being bad, that's when you have a problem. All right, more Sports Open Line, a little college football next on KMOX. Man, the end of the show is creeping up on me. It goes fast, you know. I get people asking me all the time, how do you talk for 2 or 3 hours? I don't know, man. It goes fast. It's fun. I don't know. When things are fun, they don't. It doesn't seem like they're dragging. when we look at the coming days, obviously, we've got, let's see, what are we now? 3 weeks away from the winter meetings. So obviously the baseball stuff between now and then is going to heat up. It'll be a lot of fun, I think, for the Cardinals this offseason. Hopefully the Blues will kick things into gear. And I did want to get into a quick thing on Mizzou for a second. You know, we don't always have a lot of time to cover everything in the depth that we want to, and I don't have a ton of time here. But I just wanted to make a point about Mizzou. I saw a video today of Coach Drinkwitz talking about success and essentially making the point, I'm paraphrasing, it's not a quote, that sports don't need to be all or nothing, right? It doesn't need to be playoff or failure or, you know, Major League baseball playoffs or failure. Like, there are a lot of different levels. And I would agree in a sense. I would agree in the sense that in college football, the measure of success is consistency. If you can be 9, 10 wins a year, you're going to have your big years and have your playoff opportunities. But most teams, probably 95% of teams, cannot be Alabama. Cannot be what Clemson was. And guess what? Clemson's not that anymore either. Can't be what Georgia has been. That's a very small minority of teams that can set the expectation of national championship contention every year, playoffs every year. And even they can only do it for periods of time. That said, I agree with that completely, and I wanted to point that out first. That said, this program at Mizzou has to at some point beat one of the big dogs. You have got to start winning. I'm not talking about all of them, but you've got to start beating the big teams in your conference from time to time. And I don't mean when they're down. I'm not talking about when Tennessee's down beating Tennessee. I'm talking about beating a team here and there that's got a single-digit number next to their name, or even a number in the teens next to their name. It's got to start happening at some point. Now, Drink hasn't been there that long. I love him. I don't think I would not. This is not about whether or not you would keep him. You're obviously keeping him. But expectations build. And at some point, there has to be a payoff. For Gary Pinkel, the payoff came in 2007. Before that, it was, let's run him out of town. When in reality, it's very tough to win at Mizzou. And I don't think we acknowledge that enough. And I mean people that live here. I know it's the big state school. I understand it's very hard to win big there because you don't have geography in your favor. You don't have the money. They have money now. They're getting there. They do well in NIL. Stadium's coming up. They don't have Florida money. They don't have Alabama money. But at some point, you do have to get over the hump and have the big year. But, yeah, it's only been 5 years for Drink. I think he's doing fine. Been fine. But I do think that there's a middle ground between just being consistently good, but also stepping up big at times. All right, we'll come back and wrap up Sports Up Online next here on KMOX. All right, back in on Sports Open Line. Just a couple minutes left. Kevin Wheeler in for Matt Pauly. Matt will be back next week. Nate Gatter in tomorrow night. Our buddy Rennie Knott on Friday night here on Sports Open Line. That'll be cool. All right, let's finish with just a little more college football. Not on Mizzou, just college football. Started a little bit of this early, but I wanted to finish with just a complaint about the college football playoff rankings and the multitude of standards that are used when comparing teams. I think it would be really nice if the playoff committee could just commit to like two or three core principle issues that are going to be the focus of your rankings, right? I mean, okay, so first and foremost, record has to matter, right? Undefeated matters. One win, one loss typically is better than two, but it does. There is some wiggle room there because that will play into some of the other criteria. But first one would have to be record matters. Second one would be how tough is your record? Who are you beating? Who are you losing to? How does that compare to the other teams? Is there a case where a two-loss team could be ahead of a one-loss team? For sure. But you got to make the case and not just say, well, we that's just how we viewed it. The eye test. They passed the eye test. No, you got to quantify it. I would toss into the record matters part that head-to-head has to matter. If two teams have the same record and similar overall schedules and one team beat the other, the team that beat the other should be there. Right? I mean, if the win-loss record's different, okay. So if the team if Team A beat Team B, but Team B has one less loss, okay, well, that's fine. They keep the advantage. That's okay. Head-to-head is not the be-all, end-all. But head-to-head is, let's all say it together, a tiebreaker in every sport all across the world. Head-to-head is a tiebreaker. It's not a defining factor. The record is first. And then you have things like head-to-head, strength of schedule, quality of wins and losses and all that. I don't think it should be so hard to just say, here's our criteria. And then each week when you come out and explain it, here is how this ranking setup matches our criteria. And then don't have contradictory items. Don't have the mix-ups. It, you know, in the polls, the AP and the coaches poll, it doesn't matter. Those don't rank teams for the playoffs. But the playoff ranking system, much like we talk about with the NCAA tournament committee, it does matter. But you got a lot more room for error when you're picking 68 teams as opposed to picking 12. And that's all I got to say about that. Actually, I have more to say about it, but I don't have time to. So I'm going to wrap it up. Hey, Kyle Sexton, thank you so much. Good job running the shows tonight. Matt Pauly is back next week. You'll have Nate Gatter in the spot here on Sports Open Line tomorrow.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in My Lowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Arc Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.